I see wheels. There's only one vehicle. Yeah, it's a mule. Then it, yeah, that's the mule. Then the steering vehicle, and then the flyer. What's the flyer called before I forget again? Every single time.
Jeff.
Jeff. Yes. Okay.
I don't know, what would you call someone that gobble?
A lush?
Someone who worked hard and deserves a small little token of appreciation by the only God that matters.
Beer.
Alcohol.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 75th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for September 2017. In this episode, we have a lot of news to catch up on. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to this said episode. Welcome to Dead Zone the Podcast, episode 75. It is now September, mid-September already, 2017. It's crazy. Summer is gone. What happened, Jack? What happened to the summer? I'm Rob, by the way.
And I'm Jack. I'm a born entertainer, a bit of a satirist. I like long walks on the beach. And,
oh, no, this isn't your Grindr profile.
Oh, then my shirtless profile pic has gone to waste.
Now I got to Photoshop that. This episode's originally going to be a lot of news, and then we got some stuff dropped on us today, so we'll have that in the middle. And yeah, so we'll start with some news. And the news starting is that they released the information that the Warpath vehicles for the Kickstarter are going to be, if you ordered the Tunneler along with the other stuff, that should be shipping soonish for the Kickstarter backers. And, yeah, the other vehicles are still in the prototype phase, but they said that soon they shall begin production. So I'm thinking we'll get them early next year. Sucks, but it's true. Hopefully before Chinese New Year, otherwise we're not getting them until like before Adepticon, but let us cross our fingers and hope that they come in like January, at very least.
Well, there's two upsides to that. Yes, if you're waiting for it, especially if you want to get your firefight on, get your, Warpath going, it's a bit disappointing. But the upside is for us, by the time it gets here, the snow is going to be up to our pits. We'll be stranded in our homes, and we'll have all the time in the world to paint.
Yes, that's always the plan every year, and then we don't get it, and then we are like get it in the summer, and then we'd never get to touch it. So,
yeah, but this year I'm holding out hope.
Well, we should be getting Star Saga by then anyway, so we'll have that to do. But they did release some photos of the prototypes. The first one is a exploded, it looks like a mule. We think it's a mule. It is many pieces, but we see wheels, so we assume it's a mule.
Yeah, it's got the flat bed in the back. That is a mule for sure.
Yeah, it's the octagon that the bed is. But this is what it's going to look like when it comes to you. Yeah, other than this is in, I believe this is either in 3D printed or resin, one of the two. Ours will be in hard plastic. But yeah, prototypes. Doesn't look too hard to put together. Looks good.
I can't imagine that it's very easy to get that and then have it sitting on your desk. And I don't care if you're the owner of the company or the guy who stuffs the boxes, that they just have that sit there. You'd want to put it together.
Yeah, well, they have to test. They have to look at it all and make sure everything's right before they can. I guess part of that would be to put it together, though, to make sure it all fits right.
That's a good angle. That's what you could say when you're in the broom closet and then and Ronnie flashes the flashlight on you and you've got the glue out. And I'm just testing the fit, sir.
Well, I think your idea is borne out in the next picture because it's the Asterion vehicle, either the Chroma or the Chira or whatever it's called. But it's just all assembled. So somebody assembled this one.
Let's take a picture of the unassembled stuff. And then one guy just starts sweating.
And this is the troop transport one, because the back there, those little spikes, is where the marionettes or the ciphers hang off of. Which would be cool for modeling. I wonder if we have any of those left over, any ciphers. I don't know if we have any Asterion stuff left over. We could hang off rats from it. That's about it.
Zombies.
Yeah, zombies. Yeah, yeah. But
I think we have everything but Asterions we could have hanging off there.
Yeah, that's probably true. Asterions was one we never really got that many of, because it was never part of the original Kickstarter, and we kind of pieced it together afterwards. And lastly, it's the Jeff, as Jack told me the name of this is, because I never remember the name of this vehicle. It's the GCPS Flyer. And this one looks partially assembled. So this is when Ronnie caught the guy assembling stuff right here.
Yeah.
Or those are, actually, I think a lot of those bits are the plagued version of what it's going to be. Because I see some spikes and some...
It looks like the turbines that are in the wings, looks like someone just sat them in their location rather than affixed them.
Yeah. Looks good, though. And, so those will be winging their way to us soonish.
Pun intended?
Oh, no.
Oh.
In other news, GCPS, the faction starters have been announced on the website, and they do come with a free rules booklet and other stuff that we will be discussing later. But for £24.99 or £39.99 US, you get a metal major general with a sword or a gauntlet, with 20 hard plastic troops, which the GCPS, you can make all different types of troops with all the options. And, they have all the weapon options on them. You also get the, hard plastic and metal engineer, which is just a normal guy, but he has metal parts, such as a baseball cap. And, you also get the anti-infantry weapons team, which now go on one base. And they are pretty fun. I remember putting those together, they weren't the most, easy to put together, because there's arms that have to be attached to, handles and lining things up, and it was a bit of a pain, but they do look good once they're assembled. So it's a nice little set, and then there's the bigger set, which is, booster set, it's the same price, but comes with a strider, and just the sniper team upgrade, tank hunter upgrade, and also another weapons team, so you can get your guys on. So that's a little addition to that other one.
That's a lot. When you really break that down, that's a lot of just troops, but if you can't field something really nice for firefight and stuff with that many, 25 troops, the strider, like the weapons teams, how much more do you need?
Yeah, and they do sell the strike force, which is all of it together for £44.99 or £69.99, which is pretty much every single GCPS guy you could want. So for $70, you can get totally everything for the GCPS and be rocking any variation in Dead Zone. Or like you say, have a nice starter set for at least Firefight. Warpath, you probably need a couple of these before you start getting into it. But
yeah, I don't know enough to say definitively, but certainly that's a lot.
Yep. And they're also releasing the Asterions, a new starter set for the Asterions, which also comes with their new rule booklet, and which is cool. And that new rule booklet will have new rules we'll talk about later. But this one is the same price, £25 or $40 US. You get 10 marionettes, 2 support drones, which are the new drones, the funky looking ones, 2 ciphers with no rifles, 2 cipher wardens with charge gloves, which is the hand-to-hand guys, siphon with fissure beamer, which is the rocket launcher kind of thing. We get a black talon and an overseer. And then the booster has some more charge glove guys, more beamer. It's pretty much more of everything. You get a missile launcher in that one. You get 2 sky razors, though, and 2 of the drones. And notice, one of these drones has a metal pulse bombard upgrade. Why? Why can't you sell these separately? Please just come out with a set that's just you can buy pulse bombards. I need like 4 of them.
You do. We need to paint the tops to match the already existing drone bodies we have so that they look seamless. But no, you're waiting on bated breath. Some people are waiting for Sergeant Hallett to be a thing. You're waiting for that bombard.
Yes, that'd be very nice if they come out with it. Because they do have metal parts. The stuff they do in-house, they tend to release as you can buy them. They'd probably be enormously expensive, but it'd be something I would be investing in to make sure my guys look right.
Well, yeah, it doesn't really matter for the most part, but, you know, you're so far in, like, you've got so much that extra, and how much is it going to cost you? You know?
Yeah, $10 maybe for enough to field my guys.
Hopefully.
But, yeah, especially the Starians seem to be the kind of people I'm focusing on right now, so it'd be nice to get those. And that's in my list, so. And then the Strike Force, so once again, is 45 or 70, and you get a bunch of stuff, which is good. It's pretty much everything that we just talked about, but all in one set. And they're also releasing Resin Kalishi. Kalishi right now are in metal. So you get five metal, Resin Kalishi for $25. A little expensive, but not bad for resin. Resin, better than metal? I would say slightly. I would rather them be hard plastic, but...
Yeah. The metal ones are dangerously flexible in the bows, which...
But at least they flex, I guess, with resin just snaps. Like, that's...
If you purchase more Kalishi and they come in resin, I won't even touch them. I don't want to be the same, because I will end up with powder in my hands.
You are ham hands. We've seen what you do to resin. You are the destroyer of resin.
Yeah, I am like a war song on 100 drums surging over a hilltop with resin looking fearfully at the bottom of the ravine thinking, oh, it's over.
Yes, it's... And, yeah, the Kalishi. I got enough Kalishi anyways. I think I just have enough, but it's all good. It is a nice step up to do resin. That's, once again, they're doing resin in-house, which is really cool. We're going to get this, like, a lot of new fancy stuff. Like in King's War, they got that new steel, what is it called? The steel behemoth or whatever it is for the dwarves coming in resin.
And, yeah, it's pretty dope.
Yeah, so hopefully Dead Zone gets some of that love too, and some cool resin stuff that they can make small batches, but in-house. Veerman Rumbler is also available to purchase separately, which is good if you need some more wiener cannons. And it's 10 pounds or 20 US, and you get two rats in the Rumbler platform.
And it's for $10.
Well, 10 pounds, $20.
Yeah, for 10 pounds. It's reasonable. I've got one sitting right beside me. I have the other head on it because I took the cock and balls and made my Veerman Strider. But
I assume that this kit would come with the other one too. It doesn't say, but I would assume it comes with both options.
But it's a nice sized little vehicle. Two miniatures with it. You get the two Veerman. It's a reasonable price.
Oh yeah, that's not bad. And same with this next one is, you get five creepers for $20 or 10 pounds. So if you need to add some more creepers to your list, here they are. Does that one guy have a crowbar? Is that an option for creepers?
Yeah, the one has a crowbar, which I think we do have access to. I think I have an arm with a crowbar floating around somewhere. I don't know why.
I don't remember seeing that. Maybe you did. I do creepers. Maybe you did the creepers, and I did the stalkers. I can't remember.
But I, looking at this new paint job, it's got far less of the yellow armor and more of the. This is more in line with what I thought would be nice for the rats.
Yeah, I think the house painter has been listening to you. These guys have very little of the colors on them. They're more a drab. And as always, you can see these pictures on deadzonegame.podbean.com. You can check out the pictures. But, yeah, these are much more drab looking, which I like. The Rumbler platform is the bright yellow still. That must be an old picture for before the new painter got a hand on it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying one is worse than the other, but the top picture, if you're looking at the two, looks like a industrial, well-maintained, a race of industrious, you know, a vaguely German accent, efficient people.
Looks more like dwarves than rats.
Yes. And you look down at the bottom and you go, yeah, when I'm setting my traps in the winter to keep the rats out of my shed, that's what I catch right there.
And in Star Saga Concept Corner, we have more concepts from Star Saga. The first one we have is a Rin Gunslinger. Rin are four-armed guys. There is a Rin Nomad for Dead Zone currently. So we're going to get a Gunslinger for Star Saga. He's got two pistols and two knives and a nice trench coat. He's looking pretty cool. This is concept by Jenks, Rob Jenkins. He's been posting these on Facebook, so he's got a lot of cool concepts we get to look through here. What do you think of the Rin Gunslinger?
I like the Rin, the models that we have, because we have the Nomad, and he's in a kind of like he's not in a very dynamic pose per se. I wanted to see more of the race, and this one here looks like a badass. Like if you were to make a player character for a sci-fi role playing game, this is what you have your buddy sketch out for you for the picture.
Yeah, that's what most of these concepts. I find that it's more of a, like you say, RPG looking characters. The next one's a Sorak Berserker. This is the most insane positioning for a guy. But he looks like he's a berserker. His tongue's hanging out, and
I feel uncomfortable in today's climate mentioning what I think that shape looks like.
Well, which part? His tail or his tongue?
His body in general.
Yes, he is. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, he's a bit might be a little neo-Nazi in his positioning there.
But the Sword Spawn, I loved that model. It's such a good model. The version one had the special rules. Everything was coming up Sword Spawn. He couldn't have been in a more happy place. And then he was erased from existence.
Well, he's back now, but he's not. He's a shadow of his former self.
Yeah. They've dialed him back a bit. I'm wondering if maybe this kooky, wacky character here is going to take up the mantle of that,
yeah,
that wild bloodlust.
Yeah, give him some better fight stat at least.
Yeah.
He is the wrong color. As we all know, Sorak's are supposed to be red, not purple.
Right, and the Indige are the purple. That was well established.
I don't understand how they keep getting this wrong. Like, it's so obvious.
I don't know either. There was three tablets that came off the mountain. Moses had one said.
There's two Ten Commandments, and the third one was the color of Sorak's and Yiddish.
In my recollection from Bible study, that is in fact the way it happened.
Well, that's sacrilegious. The next one is a Rebel Sphere. This guy looks bean. Look, he's a badass. He's got a harpoon gun and some kind of hooked weapon. Like, what do they call those? A boarding hooks or whatever for pirates?
Yeah, he's gone nautical theme. He's even wearing a wetsuit.
Yeah, he's like a G.I. Joe character. He reminds me of a G.I. Joe character, but with a shark head and tail.
Yeah, he's pretty dynamite. He's, that is gonna be nice.
Yeah, he's looking badass. And I like his shark eyes. He's got dead eyes. Doll's eyes.
Like a doll's eyes.
And we have the, just for you, we have a Simeon Rebel. We got some from, Alpha Simeon was from, Dreadball. But looks like we're gonna get some ape men for the, Rebs.
I am a fan of apes. Don't get me wrong. But he looks more like a big feet. Like he's got a bit of a abominable snowman yeti look to him.
Well, it's cause he's got armor all over him, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah, but
his simian features are covered in armor.
He's got that beard-looking thing. Either way,
I hopefully he's a monster on the hand-to-hand combat. Because look at him, big claws. I like him. And they also released some painted models from nice. It's the glamour shots.
So it's a boudoir photo with like some Vaseline on the lens.
That, or it's just nice lighting, and we get the.
Is there glamour shots anymore?
I don't know. Maybe that's a dated reference.
Oh.
Nobody knows. So the first one's just all heroes in their Avengers stance, all ready to take on comers. And the next one is a close shot of two of them. They got the, we have the vampire doctor chick and, the dwarf and the, what you say everybody should be replacing their, sentry guns with, the, little alien types sentry guns set up beside him.
Yeah, that's clearly what was intended to be, and anything other than that is just a pale comparison.
And I do like the color scheme. Usually Mantic tends to do a little too bright for me. This is nice and dark color scheme. Muted tones and roughed up. Everything looks rough. Next shot is the Lieutenant Delinsky. I think she's a lieutenant. And she a lieutenant? Delinsky is her last name anyways. And the devil with his flamethrower about to torch two poor security guards. They don't know what's in for.
One who appears to be on his telephone going, oh.
He's probably talking to his wife. And all of a sudden these two pop around the corner and he's like, tell our children I love them.
Yeah. That's a gruesome little scenario. You just painted a horrific picture, and I'm loving it.
Well, the next one is Delinsky's about to kill two med techs who are just walking down the aisle, walking down the hallway. Those barrels, I believe, are from Dreadful Extreme. I think I recognize them as Dreadful Extreme barrels. It's a nice different type of barrel. But all these are also on really nicely painted battle zones terrain that they've turned into interiors, and it looks really nice. Like, you can never be able to afford to do this yourself, but for photos, probably for the book, they're really nice. And the last shot we have here is of the Chovar, crazy Chovar, in the nice purplish lighting. This is like a scene from a horror movie.
Yeah, I like that they've given some liberal use of Photoshop and they've turned some of the pictures into vignettes, and they've tweaked the lighting a bit. This isn't a catalog to, you're buying the model. You know, they don't have to, they're setting a tone, and that picture sets a tone. That picture says, oh, why did I have to be on this ship at this time when Ridley Scott was in charge? Like, that's saying there's something wrong.
Yeah. Like, you can picture it if it was a video, the lights would be flashing, and you just it would be like that strobe effect on his tentacles. And
You'd look over to your left, and Sam Elliott with his eyes clawed out would be laughing, and he'd be like, oh, no.
Sam Neill, not Sam Elliott.
Hey, yeah.
In your movie, it's recast as Sam Elliott.
I've clawed my eyes out.
It's a different movie, that's for sure.
Mustache just bristling.
Yeah, that's right. As long as his mustache is intact. So that's enough romantic stuff. Screw those guys. Let's move on to someone else. We have some news from our friend Steven over at ModCubes. A new version of ModCubes is coming out. You go to modcube.com to check this out. But ModCube 2.0 is coming. It's supposedly in December to Kickstarter. And they're looking for an April release. And our friend Beetle was our roving reporter on this. He kept updating me on the information. But the new mod cubes are going to be magnetic. Instead of having to construct them like we had to for the ones we just sent to Eric, these ones will have all the faces will be magnetized. So how much easier will that be?
Really?
And you can also see they're going to be slightly smaller than the ones that we have. I know you like the size. You like the bigger size in the current mod cubes, but
again, going back to my ham hands, they're good size for my large simian phalanges.
Yeah, but this is gonna be all magnetized, small, able to make them smaller. Same, I like how it's the same design kind of, where it's the black around or any color around with the faces inside. But these look a lot slicker, I think. Like, you can already see that they've really stepped up the production quality on these ones. And Beetle also said that he's probably going to be doing some Dead Zone ones because for some reason people keep bothering him about them. So,
well, I'm thoroughly pleased with the ones that we got, and I will be, if the Kickstarter is in December, hopefully it's wrapped up and production's starting by the time, you know, Adepticon comes, because I would like to have a handful of those when we go.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. We'll have to see if you can get them done by Adepticon. April is after Adepticon, but we'll see. But, yeah, can't wait for that one. And when this starts in this Kickstarter, make sure you go to the all the comments when you pledge and keep saying the words Dead Zone. Make sure you get some Dead Zone ones made, because we do want some more of the barrels out of these, and also the command dice.
Because I'm looking at now, like the ones that we have, they're nice. They fit together. It is a solid, good product. I didn't think there was any need to make a change, but there must have been to change the production and just the I don't know. It's obviously a step up. I just don't. I thought they were great before.
Yeah, it's almost like this is what he envisioned in his mind, so he figured a way to do it. The other ones were like the stopgap, which that's how he could do it, but these ones are...
Could be.
With the magnets inside and everything, this looks like it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, that was a long news segment. We usually don't go that long, but we'll take a short break here, and we'll come back to talk about some GCPS and Assyrians. Sound good?
That sounds marvelous. That sounds like the tinkling of small wind chimes one or two decks over while your feet are in the water and a fish splashes in the distance.
Hey, oh man, that was a good roll. Hey, Georgie, what are you watching?
Oh, I'm just watching a video on Family of Gamers 777 on YouTube.
What kind of videos are on their channel?
They have hobby videos, live streams, Dead Zone and Warpath battle reports, and tons of other great stuff.
Oh, cool. I have to check them out.
Remember, that's Family of Gamers 777 on YouTube, the hub for all things miniature wargaming.
So, Georgie, what's your favorite video on their channel?
I love them all so much. To pick just one, what do I know?
Welcome back to Coaching Friends, and today I'm joined with Roberto and Jake.
And welcome back to this episode. Let us look at some GCPS and Assyrian action. Action. It's the new PDFs.
Are you doing a commercial for Adobe?
So, the GCPS, we'll start with them. They have been officially released with a nice booklet that's going to be coming, like we said earlier, with the faction starters and boosters. And, we've talked about GCPS at length before, and I don't think much has changed. As far as I know, nothing has changed. But I'm sure someone like Coach will put out a video about the slight changes that have happened. This PDF that did you release is great because it does have all the models and their corresponding picture for each of them. And I like how they use the old corporation troops from, what was that, Operation Pandora. They had the original GCPS guys, and they're a little smaller. And I like they use those as the corporation recruits. They're like the guys that they don't have armor on. They're just little weedy little guys. So that's kind of cool. I like that idea that they use the old model still. But it's the corporation, and they have all the rules here. And the corporation weapon list is ridiculously long, which is they're corporations. I guess they get to supply themselves. But there is new equipment, and I'm sure we talked about this before, but it's comlinks, which you can. It's like Spotter, another version of Spotter, Jack.
Just what we need, three or four names for the same skill.
Yeah. But it is Dead Zone 2.0 where they reduce the number of skills. So we love you, Rules Committee.
Remember in the Halcyon days when we were talking to Ronnie and he was going to get rid of all and put him on the stat line? And
just call it Spotter, people. Why do you keep making new ones? Anyways.
You just lashed out. That was for your frustration that boiled over there.
They also have the Marksman Rifle, which is just a wimpier version of Sniper Rifle. It's got a hollow sight, so it's plus one die instead of plus two, which is kind of fun. It's nice to get more weapons. And they have something called Trip Mine that has, which we've discussed many times how mine should work, where it's creates a token in the square where the mine is, and you can blow it up when people come through and stuff.
Yeah, that was when the Veerman came out and they were using, you know, colored magnetic debt packs and stuff. And it was literally a club. It was like, no, that's not the way it should be.
Yeah. Hopefully when the Veerman officially come out, they'll use this trap ability with them too. Cause all those debt packs should be working like this.
The magnetic one should fire off when a vehicle goes by or something metal or something. And then the other one should be can be remotely set off, so something, but not a club you use.
Yeah. And the great addition to these rule books is that they have a weapons list, and hopefully they'll be going forward for every single faction to have this, but they show every single option on the sprue and what it's called. And I must apologize to Coach, because remember when we were doing the, I think we were doing the Enforcers, the Elite Enforcers, or one of the Enforcers, and Coach kept calling the Gendling a Polaris Cannon, and it's because in Warpath, the GCPS have the Gendling, but they call it a Polaris Cannon, even though it looks nothing like the Reb Polaris Cannon. So that's why Coach kept calling it that. So it's he's not insane, he's not wrong, it's just for some reason in Warpath they decided to give it a different name. For I guess it's a Gendling if the Enforcers use it, but it's a Polaris Cannon if everybody else uses it. Strange, but true.
But Rob, love means never having to say you're sorry. So I think
screw that guy then.
Oh, phrasing.
Yeah. But, yeah. So it's cool that they have all these, different weapons and you can see what they all look like. So if you really are a WYSIWYG, you want to know what everybody's packing. They show everything, which is a great idea, and I hope they continue to do this forward in the future.
Yeah. When you're building your models for your strike team and you want to do it right, that should be the way it is. That's going forward, that's got to be the way they do it. I remember seeing people would, what weapon's this? What weapon's that? And there was some sources you could find, you could show, that's that, but you want to do it right.
Yeah, that's right. You gotta have it so certain people really, really want that. They want the WYSIWYG. They don't, like for us personally, I just go with what looks kind of like what it should be and try to keep it consistent in an army, but now you can know which one's which and be assured that you're correct. At least for the GCPS, and as we'll be discussing soon, the Asterians also have this. So, speaking of Asterians, let's move on to these bad boys. And they have a bunch of new stuff, so we haven't discussed these guys, the new stuff they have. They've gotten two new leaders. We have the Black Talon Prime, which is he's 3-shoot, which is nice, 4-fight, 5-save, Tactician 1, Construct, Vulnerable Glide, which, don't like those vulnerables, but everything else is cool. And he does have Energy Shield 4, though, that kind of makes up for it.
That's very Asterian of him.
And his splat. You can use the army special result on a model with Cypher or Black Talon, the type name, and who is a target of a shoot action, to give him +1 to survive roll. You may spend more than one army special rule on the same die roll, but must declare how many before rolling. So pretty, I think somebody else has this. I think they're similar. Oh, I know the Bastion for the Enforcers is +1 armor, but this is +1 die for survival. It's kind of cool. It's like he extends his shield out and protects somebody. And he does have Recon 4+, so he's pretty good for that. But what do you think about that splat?
It has possibilities. You'd have to really, choose, because the risk of your shield blowing up.
Well, he's not giving his shield out. He's just...
Right. Right, so you're not going to be right where your frontline troops are. So it'd be, I'm just wondering, you'd have to pair him with someone that was really worth the effort and his location. I think it's one of those things that might not happen that often, but when you're able to do it,
he can give this to any Cypher or Black Talon who is a target of a shoot action. Anybody on the board, they don't have to be near him.
Oh, well then I take back everything I said about it not being that. It's...
So every time somebody gets shot and you have an extra, you have a die roll, you can add a +1 survive dice.
So you can stay basically in a safe position, not relying on your shield to protect you and, running out there, but still give them the, that's pretty nice.
He's only 28 points too. He's 3 VPs, but only 28 points. That's not horrible. And the next leader is called a Khaleesi Dervish. So she's a 5-shoot, 3-fight, 5-survive, Tactician 1. Got everything with that the Khaleesi have, except for she has something called Razor Flails. So instead of swords, they're the, like, pole arms that the Khaleesi have, you have to mod her up with some flails. Maybe they'll make a model for this eventually. It's AP2 Frenzy 1 flails. But she has something called Dance of Death. You can use it to... It's pretty much the old... when you doubled, you could continue the fight afterwards and keep rolling through people.
Okay.
This so after you fight, you can use command dice to move as if it had a move plate on it. So you can do a fight and then use this to break away without having to make a test, which is kind of cool. So even if you don't kill the guy, you can still get away.
And usually fighting would end the turn.
Yeah.
So you could then start chaining. Like you said, this harkens back to version one where you're able to really get a thematic, like a...
See, I thought originally it was only if you kill the guy, but then, yeah, read further and it's, you can, even if you don't kill the guy, you can still do that to get out of the fight. So you could run up on a stage one, slash him once, get out of the fight, fight somebody else or, you know.
Yeah. Move into the square with the next guy and give him a... Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities there.
And it's maximum once per activation, so you can only, it's not like you could keep doing it, but that's kind of fun. And it kind of goes with the dervish kind of thing, where she's just spinning into around and adding that to all your Khaleesis. Actually, anybody, it doesn't even say Khaleesi, so. So it's any model, well, who else are you going to do it with? It's not like the Cyphers are going to go get in a fight, so.
I want my marionette to stop it. You're just being a jerk now.
Oh, they do have the new Cypher Warden. That's a new type of Cypher. Is that, remember we discussed earlier, it's the hand-to-hand Cypher? So he's got four shoot, four fight, and five survive. That's pretty good for a Cypher. He's only 12 points too, so. That's kind of fun that they, that's hand-to-hand kind of version of the Cypher.
Yeah. I don't know if they needed to make it. Their ranks were pretty rounded out with the Khaleesi. I didn't think there was a glut, like there wasn't a vacuum to be filled with it, but it'd be a nice surprise if you're looking at a guy's models across the table and, hey, he's getting a little feisty. That frog's hopping over here. What's going on? That Cypher can't do. Uh-oh.
That might be fun, yeah. They are a little expensive at 12 points when you can get a Khaleesi for 15, but if you did have an extra 12 points running around.
Yeah.
Or if you have actually using that in combination with the Black Talon so you can give them some more survivability, that might be fun. And lastly, their other new troop is the Support Drone. That is the drone that came with the marionettes. And he's a 5 shoot, no fight, 6 survive, so it's the same as the normal drone. And he's got one hard point just like the normal drone, but he can use platform camouflage, communications, and automatic. And so let's see what communications, camouflage, and automatic mean. So the first thing is you can give him as a cloaking device. And a cloaking device is pretty much acts like a, almost like a smoke grenade kind of. It gives you -1 dice to shoot people in the same square as the cloaking device. But, you can still, use, what's it called? Indirect. And if you get a clear shot, you still get +2 dice. But it's pretty much everybody in that square. It kind of makes them shimmer and move, friend or foe. It's kind of fun.
So you sort of like turn into like the Predator situation where everyone's kind of wavy.
And it's all models in a cube or adjacent to a cube. So it's quite a bit large area too. So it's not just one square. So that's kind of fun. I like how it's a bigger area. So it makes it a little bit more useful than the smoke grenades.
Because at that point that you're talking, how many models could you fit in all the adjacent cubes to it in a perfect world? You could put a whole strike team down.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to do that if the people had the pulse bombards or something.
But yeah, it'd be nice to get a -1. It just helps with keeping your vulnerable guys alive. I think that's what a lot of this is for.
Yeah. And to stop, first round haven't even activated yet in your deployment zone and you get a couple snipers appearing, you know, a little survivability that first round before everyone scatters into their, you know, scatters into the multiple directions.
And platform communications is something called a comms relay. It gives you tactician 1, which is kind of cool. Plus it gives you communications, which gives you an automatic free extra activation command die. So you automatically get another command die in your group because of its tactician 1 ability. But you also get this free, what's it called? Extra activation, which is kind of fun. And it stays around as long as the drone is alive.
So now, bear with me. He gives Tactician 1.
Mm-hmm.
on top of what your leader gives.
Is it on top? I wonder if that's how it works. I don't know if they've actually discussed it anywhere. Or is it if your leader dies, you still have Tactician 1, does he replace it?
I don't know.
We'll have to discuss that with the coach next time we talk to him. I'm not sure which way it works.
Because I don't know how many command dice were supplied. It can't be in addition to at the beginning.
Well, yeah, because I think you got like 6 command dice, and your normal guys only have usually have 5, so you get that extra 3, one. You
have 2 more, yeah, so 5.
Plus the 1 for him, maybe. Maybe it's additional. We'll have to find that out. If you know, please comment either on the YouTubes or the, Twitter us on the actual deadzonegame.podbean.com site. You can do comments, although we never see those because they don't tell us when people comment. So you have to kind of look every once in a while, but we prefer it on the YouTube probably or the Twitter. So please.
Yeah. You might as well do Semaphore. We'd recognize it it would be just as useful. So no, just stick to an email or something like that.
Yeah. And lastly, the other thing they can have out is automatic, which is twin no rifles. So that's kind of cool. Twin no rifles gives you a way to fire, as all doubling of weapons should always give you a way to fire or frenzy. And as we discussed before, these guys do have the list of all the different weapons, and you can see all the different things available to your guys and what they're supposed to look like. And that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And now we can tell which one's a fission beamer and which one's a plasma vortex. We can never figure that out.
No, yeah, there's a bunch of things that will be eye-opening when we realize, oh, we got that backwards for sure.
Especially for the Asterians, because all their weapons are kind of similar looking, so this is when they actually really need it. Because the grenade launcher I always thought was a flamethrower, and I thought the flamethrower was always a grenade launcher.
Oh.
So, there you go. And that boat covers it. That's the new lists. Hopefully this is a sign of things to come, that we can keep getting this kind of updates and really nice. You can print these up and they'll be coming in little booklets. And I hope they maybe have these booklets available just to either order or get them at anytime Mantic is at a show or something available to give out, because I'd love to have a hard copy of all this stuff.
Yeah, even if it was just an update, something or other.
Yep.
Some compendium.
Yeah, even after they do all the factions, do a little book that has all the updates, the new army lists. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Or as I've always said, each faction, even though people don't like this for 40K, but to have a faction book for each one, and you have all these lists in there, the up-to-date lists, every once in a while you come out new, and all a bunch of fluff and all the weapon lists and everything in there. All the vehicles, so it could be used for Warpath, Dead Zone, or Firefight in a little book, so it's multiple uses. That's, you know, I think the end could be the size of what they came out with the Nexus Sai and those ones, like the smaller size books. That'd be really cool, I think, for each faction. And, yeah, I know a lot of people probably would be pissed off if they did that because, oh, now we gotta buy all this stuff, but you don't have to buy anything. They release him his little booklets too, so stop your bitching.
It depends how they do it. If all of the pertinent information is available, all in one location in the manual, all the facts, then the compendium, the miscellaneous books, the codexes, if you will, had fluff and nonsense and pictures, and you know, as long as you're buying it as a supplement because you love the faction rather than, oh, I need the rules.
Yeah, especially if they keep releasing all the rules free. So these books would just be for the people who'd want them. Once again, though, is it worth them to be printing them? That's always the issue. I think that's the reason why GW does it the way they do it, is because they guarantee people will be buying them, right? Whereas if they're only, maybe that's what the Mantic Compendium was a test for. See how many people actually would buy a book like that. And I don't know if it was successful or not, but maybe that's what they're trying to test the waters. Just hard copies. I think it's hard because it's not like they have a printing, like they have to send that away to get printed, right? And that can't be cheap. You would know.
Yeah. Yeah. But having things printed is a worthwhile endeavor. And I would say that if you are on the fence, certainly call your local press operator in your area and make sure that they have enough money to feed themselves and clothe themselves.
That's right. keep print alive.
My career is dying.
Oh, that's why your new career is podcasting.
That is correct. That is why I'm just living large.
Well, on that bombshell, we'll go for another break, and we'll have some shoutouts.
Shoutouts.
Countercharge. Countercharge is the first podcast totally dedicated to the game Kings of War. Join your hosts Andrew, Mark, and Rob as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War. You can find us on iTunes and at OhioHammer.com, a proud member of the Ohio Hammer Network of Podcasts.
This is Rob Fanuff from Countercharge, and you're listening to the only other podcast that covers Mantic games. Dead Zone, the podcast.
Oh, one more, that's Mark. True or not, but okay.
It is shout outs time.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone podcast, your only source for Dead Zone news that's worth listening to. And that commercial, while revolting, vile, something that quite frankly makes me want to vomit. We're gonna recover. We're going to pull up our bootstraps, and we're going to move into the shout-outs.
That's just mean to Countercharge. Why are you being so mean to them?
Well, I think they were partly responsible for letting George out of his cage last time.
No. Somehow, some way, Rob and Mark somehow got a hold of Georgie's remote control. I assume his cage is remote controlled. I don't know why.
I didn't know that. I'm learning it. We're starting to peel back the layers of the onion that is Georgie's confinement.
I assume he was getting it. I don't think he could get out himself. That's all I'm thinking. Someone's letting him out. That's all I think.
Oh.
It's a conspiracy. So shoutouts.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Shoutouts.
Are we doing a show? What happened?
You fell asleep and woke up and it's a show.
Yeah.
So shoutouts. Our first shoutout is for our buddy Nicodemus Sandberg on Facebook. He's been posting lots of cool pictures. And appropriately enough, he did some Asterians with some extra Photoshop action of their weapons going off. And his Asterians are silver and purple. I like them. And he also has, I think that's a truck from Mars Attacks, I want to say.
Could be.
I think it is. And it's the Asterians that have taken over the truck. And there's some cool, shipping crates, shipping containers in the background.
They look homemade.
Could be.
I think someone took the corrugated cardboard, stripped off one side.
Yeah, I see that now, what you're saying.
Yeah.
Could be. If it is Nicodemus, please put a tutorial together. And we'll have it on here, because I'd like to see how it's made.
He's one crafty vampire hunter, that's for sure.
That's true. With a name like that, he'd have to be crafty. Next shot is, he called it the Battle of the Blades. Howlett, jumping off a truck about to kill, I think that's a Zor, isn't it, from Dreadball?
I don't know.
I think it is. I recognize that hand, the clawed hands. I think they're Zors. So he's about to kill a Zor. And I really like the next shot. It's a Blaine. Look at that molting on the skin. That is a cool looking Blaine. I always assumed it was a full jacket, but man, that looks awesome.
Oh, he looks like Lionel with a Predator mask on now.
A little bit.
Doesn't he look like
I understand what you're saying.
Chitara?
Is a male Chitara with a Predator mask on?
Yeah.
Or a Predator. Predator's got those multi spots too, but that's a really good paint job. I really like how that turned out.
That's taking a look at something from a different angle. I assumed he was clothed, that his sleeves would have been part of the jacket, but now he's wearing like a long vest? No, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. And he's got a shot of a couple of modded up Striders. I'm not sure where the gun barrels are from, but I know the barrel on the side is one of the accessory packs, but I'm not sure. He cut off the barrel and put on a different barrel there to make his weapons look different, and I think they're very cool looking.
Yeah. Certainly beefed it up with that big drum on the side.
Yeah.
That's dynamite.
And then we got his shot of his Strider with some Peacekeepers. And I do like the single shoulder pad, different color. I do that many times. The next shot is another Strider. This one, I think, is the Dreadball Strider, but it's a really dynamic pose. And I like the big weapon he's got on there as a, I think it's supposed to be a flamethrower, and a nice paint job too, but really cool looking.
Yeah, because it is chunks from the flamethrower put together. That is really neat. You have to really know what the it looked like beforehand to see how much actual work went into snubbing that thing down like that.
Yeah, just the really dynamic pose. I really like that. I like the use of the Dreadball Strider. That is because he's pretty clean and he's got nice hands, so that's cool. And then we got a whole bunch of Sorax. And look at this, Jack. Those Sorax are red. Nicodemus here, he knows what color Sorax are.
He obviously loves Sorax, so that puts him in the top, 10 percentile of humanity anyways. Like, that's clearly a fan of the Sorax is a friend of ours. But then to have him the right color is...
Yeah. He's, and I like how he's really positioned them differently. He's got a bunch of different ways that he put the Sorax on there with their hands for arms and arms for hands.
Yeah, Mr. McGreg did right up.
Yep. And then he did a bunch of Yindish. And Jack, what color are those Yindish?
They're dangerously close to being blue, but I like the panache, and I like the... first of all, both the Sorax and the Yindish have like similar clothing. The Sorax, I looked and went, where did he get those? They've got scarves around their necks and stuff.
He must have sculpted all those, eh?
Well, again, he's a crafty vampire hunter.
Because all the Yindish also have like scarves over their faces and stuff. Really, really inventive.
So they are not only not going to match other people's armies, he went the extra mile in a lot of small steps that unless you have the models, like a lot of people who are listening, a lot of people that are watching, looking at home, if you look at the details, you go, oh, that's awesome, great paint job, whatever. And if you really start picking it apart, you go, oh my God, that guy took a long time. That's a lot of work just to put the face mask around that one there. I don't know if it was a green stuff marathon. I don't know if it was, cause there's shells and there's.
I would assume that's all green stuff. That's the only way you'd be able to do that accurately. Yeah, that's really well done. This is showing what you can do with these models to make them look different. And he's making them really, really good.
I'm starting to show off now, actually. It's starting to piss me off.
Well, the next bit, it's got nothing to do. This next bit really has nothing to do with Dead Zone, but I thought it was just awesome. It's some kind of brutish model. I think I remember he's the one who had the Avengers themed army and stuff. So this must be one of those guys. But he's up against a handmade. You could tell he's handmade, but from League of supervillains or whatever from the Legion of Doom. It's a head from a Legion of Doom head. I think isn't that Brainiac's head or something?
It looks like it could be Brainiac's head, or it could be a Doombot from Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
And if that would make that the Red Hulk, that would be the Colonel...
Thunderbolt Ross?
Thunderbolt, yeah, Ross. Yeah, so Red Hulk versus... I'm guessing that's Red Hulk versus a Doombot.
But you can see that the weapons on the side of his head are from, I think they're from the Yotan, the dwarf vehicle. They look familiar from that. And he's definitely made it look like it's for the Mars attacks. You can see some Martians down below, but that's a neat version. If you want to use that instead of the big stompy robot, using that, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a fantastic picture. It's a fantastic... That's a lot of work. Boy, that's a lot of work.
He's a crafty vampire hunter. Well, thank you, Nicodemus, for showing off your skills. And we can't wait to see more because this is awesome stuff. And we also have some nobody named Joe Neat. I don't know what he's got to do with Mantic. Somebody. Something.
Man. Oh, Joe Neat. Joe Neat. Big deal.
He is a big deal because he's one of the two employees of Mantic from North America, and he's showing off some of his plague, We got the subject 901, is it? What's his number? I never remember his number. Is it 901? Anyways, he did this cool looking, which I always thought looked like Wolverine Escape from Weapon X, but he did a very different version of it. And I like it how he didn't use the candy apple for his skin. It's more of the zombie look. And I really like his back because he has this like spine thing on and it shows where it's stuck into his skin. And he really went above and beyond for the details in this guy.
When I saw that, I went a whole different route. But when I saw that, I was like, I missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's how it should look with the metal tines stuck into the skin. But that, now you see it, you go, oh, obviously, that's the way it should be.
Is the beer getting to you?
Oh, yeah.
As you burped your way through that one?
Yeah, that was my, hey, Noob Noob gets it.
And lastly, we have an aberration and a stage one, very bloody looking, not candy apple, just pure blood. And he did a nice bone texture on all of it. And yeah, they look menacing and evil. That stage 1A is still the best model Mantic ever put out.
That, now that I've been on Twitter more and more, and I've seen some of the things going on in the world outside of our little bubble, I still think that the stage 1A, the Plague Lord, is one of the best models ever. Like, and I'm not, that's not hyperbole, that's not me, just, that is such the, like, almost perfect badass model.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he was the winner of our awards for best model, and he still is. He's the man. Mantic, you have to step it up and make something better than him. If you can do that, I'd be impressed.
You came close with the Veerman Strider, but
the official Veerman Strider. Get yours today.
Yes, TM.
Now for a segment we call Our Stuff.
So, speaking of Veerman Striders, Our Stuff, do you have anything that you've been working on, Jack? Because I have nothing. I've been working on, as I mentioned many times, the Shadow of Brimstone Wave 2 came in, and I have about a metric ton of Shadows of Brimstone miniatures that I've been working through, so I've done nothing.
There was literally a casket-sized box that he just kept bringing out bags and bags of miniatures.
Yes, there was quite a few. But please tell me that you've been working on something Mantic, Dead Zone, or Warpath related.
I have, and it is more of a Warpath than Dead Zone, but I'm sure if you looked hard enough in our back catalog, you could find rules for it. I've been working on the Interceptor, the bomber version of the Interceptor that Rob had given me to placate my lust of making, I don't know, flyers?
Well, you wanted to do it for the, originally you wanted to do it for the, Brush with Death that Mantic's doing now. September is the Warpath Vehicle Day month. And, so I gave Jack. So hopefully you will be submitting it to that just to, at least to have a submission so we can say we did it.
Yeah. Now that has dawned on me. We were discussing and you had nominated me for Team Dead Zone, the podcast to.
That's right.
Throw it together. So you will see, I sent Rob a picture of the beginning stage. I think that's the Interceptor painted, and I've been working on the base, and it's not together yet, but I'll take a picture of the base and it'll be available to take a look. And then hopefully we'll submit something. We kind of have to. It's called being part of the community. And if when you can be involved and when you can participate, you should, because if you don't, they're not going to do it anymore. They'll just go, well, no one cares. We got two submissions over a month. Well, why are we doing this?
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, get some more people submitting stuff. And,
except for Nicodemus. He can, at least for the vehicle one, because, yeah.
He's too good at it.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Doombot win.
Well, it has to be a Mantic model. Luckily, that I don't know if those little bits count enough to be a Mantic model.
Defying all the rules, flagrantly disregarding all the rules, he wins with the Doombot. But yeah.
Yeah, We'll see. But I think that wraps it up, though, Jack. I think we had a good episode here. We had a bunch of stuff. We'll be back with team building exercise at the end of the month. And until then, you should go to cafepress.ca/deadzonepodcast and get some merch, grab some shirts. Also, if you do love us, we always do have our Patreon going. And you can go to patreon.com/deadzonepodcast for that one if you care. I know you don't, but I thought I'd mention it.
Ooh.
Reverse psychology.
Oh, is that what that was? Oh, I was going to get the suicide hotline number again.
Oh, how depressing.
It is depressing.
Literally.
Yeah, yeah. Morty's killing Morty's. It's just same old story.
Same old story. Well, until next time, I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
Thank you for joining us on Dead Zone, the podcast 75. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
Vinland Old Time Radio.
Ah, it is to that.
Bastrow!
Oi there, dirigible. Help a fellow Empire citizen out, would you?
It's a gavel. A haunted gavel.
Have you read The King in Yellow?
Hello, William.
I made the koala burgers.
So what's new?
Are you insane?
That better be a rhetorical question. And yes.
Wafa tula.
I once knew a Spaniard in Targunda who spoke in gibberish like you.
Up, up, and escape!
That was terrible.
I should be a god, and instead I'm stuck down here like a worm.
She would tell me such wonderful stories.
Dr. Deja Vu will return.
Africa's a continent?
It's with great protest.
Sorry, Georgie Pudding.
Ooh, now that's some fine programming.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.